Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. And today we have with us Dawn. Dawn, thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share with the listeners your journey. It really, truly does give the hope that they need to continue battling. So welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm excited to hear. I mean, now you're working hard finishing your kitchen, I hear. But tell me a little bit, kind of what did this whole, you know, how did this whole journey start? I mean, how long has it been? When did it happen?
So with Lyme specifically, I mean, you know, I don't know. I have second thoughts now that I've kind of delved into the world of Lyme disease, and I got very sick back in 2008 with mono, and my body changed dramatically almost overnight. It was overnight. It wasn't almost overnight. It truly was overnight. And I kind of had a health journey then that I went through and got on the other side of. And then 3 years ago, when the entire world was getting COVID, it was June of 2020, and all the gyms were closed. So in an effort to work out, I went to my old high school, which is right around the corner from where I used to live. And I ran on the track and did push-ups in the grass, and I brought a friend home with me. Yeah, I brought a nice friend home with me. And that's kind of what started the whole thing off. And as a saying, I mean, you know, I live in New Jersey, and Lyme is super prevalent here. And it's a shame that nobody, even here, nobody really understands it, especially the medical professionals. I'm going to use air quotes for that. I had a doctor... I thought you just go to the doctor, you get antibiotics, and it's over, right? And that was my thought process. And so I found the tick, I pulled it off, I felt fine. And I was playing hockey about 3 days later, and all of a sudden I just started, I don't know where, we just started playing, and I was just drenching in sweat. And I'm like, what is going on? And my body was just drenching and very porous, and I was very hot, and it's never happened to me before. So I played the game, got done with the game, and got home, and I was, you know, it was like 8 o'clock on a Saturday evening, and I was falling asleep. And I'm a late guy. I don't fall asleep early. And I was literally just drowsing off. And my wife's like, "You okay? You don't look right." And I'm like, "I feel weird, but yeah, I seem to be okay." So I just let some more time go. A couple of days later, I woke up, my knee was swollen. I had this stabbing pain in my eye. And I'm like, okay, I have Lyme. This has to be Lyme disease, right? So from a very novice perspective, you know, of people with Lyme, but you just know that the hallmark signs are you get a fever, and I never got a fever. So I go to a doc in the box, right? Like one of these MediMerge places. And,
a doc in the box. I love it.
Yeah, because I just thought, you know, I go there, I get some doxycycline, I read up on the internet, go there, get some doxycycline, you're good in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, right? Whatever they prescribe. So I go there, I'm like, "What's up, man? I got Lyme disease. I'm pretty sure, like, give me some antibiotics." And he's like, "You don't have Lyme disease. You're being paranoid." And I was like, "All right, man," like, wouldn't test me for anything, told me I was being paranoid. I'm like, this is really bizarre. I'm telling you all my symptoms. I'm falling asleep at that point, I was literally falling asleep at noon because everyone's home, right? So I'm like working from home, I'm falling asleep at my computer. My knee is swollen. It's hurting to go up and down the steps. I mean, I've been an athlete my entire life.
And like not to mention that you just pulled a tick off yourself.
Right?
Like, hello?
Right. So here's the thing, though. I had no rash. I never got a rash. I never developed a rash. So because I didn't have a rash, I didn't have Lyme disease. Some time went by, and the symptoms started getting worse. My eyes felt like sandpaper all day long, every day. It was brutal. I mean, I tried every eye drop you could imagine. And I work in supplements. Like, I've worked in supplements for 15 years. So thankfully I've been sort of prepared for this. I guess by divine intervention, I was prepared for this in one way or another for this to happen to me. I started, you know, kind of diving around, and I hopped into the Lyme group on Facebook, and I found a bunch of information, sometimes too much information, but I found a bunch of information. I found out what an LLMD was, had no idea what that was. So I found a nice gentleman down in Howell, New Jersey, who he really helped me a lot. He took me very serious. He took all the tests. He was convinced that I had Lyme long before I ever showed up at his office. So I had an acute and a chronic infection. You know, how that popped up, I don't know. And yeah, so I started on antibiotics. Didn't feel good, right? Like, you know, you say you don't feel good when you start, and he prepared me for that. And things got dramatically worse over the following couple months. As I was on the antibiotics, I started being short of breath all the time. I mean, I thought I had a lung condition. I mean, I thought it was anything and everything going on.
What kind of antibiotics were you on? I mean, what
is it? I started on Bactro, which was, everybody had thought was kind of a weird choice to begin on. But to be honest with you, it was the only thing that made my eye issue go away. So my eyes were completely dry, and that really helped me with that one issue, but it drove me mad. I mean, I was having suicidal thoughts, and I'm not ever, you know, I've never in my life had a thought like that. And it was really bad. I was having these electric shock feelings in the middle of the night that were just waking me up. And I know there's the Herxheimer reaction and a lot of things that kind of go into that, and a lot of different things can go into play in your body. And I had ended up in the ER over the next 3 weeks, three times, and one time by ambulance. So I had to find a different way, right? And it wasn't going to work for me. Antibiotics, I just had to find a different route. And I've never been a person to take medicine. I've never truly trusted doctors from my Epstein-Barr episode that happened 13 years prior to that. So I kind of had a little bit of a disdain for the traditional medical field, unfortunately, because there's some incredible doctors.
And when you communicated this to the doctor, the LLMD, you know, Lyme literate medical doctor, yeah, what did he say? I mean, did he just say, well, just kind of push on, yeah, we need to do this? Or did he feel like, well, let's kind of pull away from this and try this instead? I mean, what was his strategy?
It was a blend of both. So initially we just switched to antibiotics. So we went from Bactrim to doxycycline, and truly doxycycline really was, I mean, it was awful for me. That was three times worse than Bactrim was. And then he tried to put me on some other stuff. And I just told him, I said, listen, I got to go a natural route. And as great as he was, and he really was an incredible man, very smart, very educated. He really cared, which was the biggest thing for me. He genuinely cared. You can't fake how much the man cared. I mean, he would pick up my phone calls, and I see stories where people get charged $100 a minute to be on the phone with an LLMD. And this guy, generally, he cared. But it just wasn't the right approach for me, for somebody like me. It just wasn't. So.
And was that his only approach?
No, it wasn't. He had suggested some holistic alternatives, but being in the supplement industry for a long time, there's a lot of private label stuff out there that is just overpriced to be overpriced. And there's some stuff that's really worth the price. And I know ingredient manufacturing. I have a lot of connections in the world, let's put it that way. So I'm not going to just take something with a private label on the bottle just to do it. Nor will I overpay for something, which was a whole other issue. You know, I'm seeing people on the Lyme forum spend $2,000-$4,000 every couple months on supplements, and having a, you know, dinner table full of them every night for dinner. Yeah. And I wasn't going to take that approach either. So I had to take a more holistic approach, I should say, to finding out what was going to work for me. And truly the first step in that process for me was therapy, you know, and my wife, everyone has shit from when they were kids, right? Everyone has problems. And my wife suggested it. She's like, listen, you've been really in a rough spot for this duration. At that point, we were probably at like 6 months of me dealing with all the Lyme issues. So you've been in a tough spot, see a therapist. And I did. And that truly was the first step to me getting better, was kind of just accepting the fact that my life is going to be different now, right? And there's nothing that I could do to go back to that day in June, because there was a lot of what ifs that were going through my mind for this entire process. Why me? What if? Woe me. there was a lot of feel bad, feel sorry for yourself. And I wasn't raised that way. And I've never been, I'm a son of an army man. My mother's a truly hard worker. I've never been that kind of person. And Lyme really, and really any chronic illness will really put you in a place that puts life in a different kind of lens and different kind of scope and perspective. And so for me, therapy was the first step. And then Dr. Buhner, I started just buying up every book you could possibly imagine, every piece of literature from every doctor. And his stuff resonated with me the most. So I started attacking it that way from a medicinal aspect and in an herbal way. And I started exercising again. At that time, I had gained probably 50 pounds in a very, very short period of time, in 6 months. And I don't know if that was a side effect of having Lyme, if it was Bartonella, like, you know, it's, some of this stuff doesn't show up right away, right? So you're dealing with all these co-infections. And for me, it was the answer was trying to kind of figure out a way to get my life back, right? And accepting everything and then saying, hey, like, I'm going to die one day anyway. Why not with Lyme disease? You know, whether it's cancer or Lyme disease. Seriously, I know it sounds silly, but if this is what kills me, something has to, right? And that acceptance was pivotal for me to move forward. And I try to tell people all the time, and I have a lot of friends. My wife has Crohn's disease. One of my best friends from childhood has Crohn's disease. And there's a lot of chronic illness in the world, right? I don't know what the number is, some staggering number, but 60% of people deal with some kind of chronic illness that's reported. I'm sure there's more than that, right? Yeah. But that's what's reported.
I think they're undershooting. I mean,
probably.
Hugely. Yeah, Steven Buhner, I mean, he's like the Lyme herb whisperer, you know. He's taking things to a different level, you know, rather than just this kind of chemical, do this for that. You know, it is feeling the energy of the pathogen and energy of the plant and kind of seeing how they interact with each other. And so it's this dance, you know, that he's doing. It's not really killing the pathogen, you know, going at war. It is, you know, more kind of living in harmony with it, you know, so that, and that, there you have the acceptance, you have, you know, more of that kind of mentality, which becomes really important.
Yeah, and I like that you brought up, you know, going to therapy, because obviously we're talking about Lyme, but you know, when you have Lyme and your world that you know it literally gets turned upside down overnight, you know, or over a duration of a few years for some people, it really does change your perspective on things. And you know, we can talk about the Facebook groups and stuff. You know, there's good and bad to them. Right. But a lot of people, I don't know if it's, they are not willing to accept that they have Lyme, so therefore they're never going to get better, or they, you know, I don't know what it is. And we do talk a lot about the acceptance of Lyme, as part of the healing process, you know, and you have to really dive deep kind of into yourself, because it, you know, you had mentioned earlier that you were having suicidal thoughts. I contemplated suicide during my journey, and that is not me. Like, no part of that. You know, it's something I never understood how people could do that. I get it now, and I was very ashamed of it for many years and hid it from my parents even. And now I talk about it openly because I think it's such a big thing going through what we go through. So I like that you bring up the whole mental part of it.
I think it started as acceptance, right? And that's really, from at that point, I had to accept it, because it's, what am I going to do if I don't? I mean, I have a wife, we want to have kids, I have two dogs, I have family that loves me and cares for me, and friends that love me and care for me. And what do? Do you roll over and die, or do you fight, right?
You accept it and figure out how to live with it, or try to get rid of it. Yeah.
That's it. And truly, and I say this now and I mean it, like, Lyme has made me a better man, a better husband, a better friend, a better coworker. I've gotten significantly better at everything since I've gotten this. And it just makes me, that part makes me wonder, like, what the hell am I capable of in the long term of life? And what would I have been capable of without this, right? And I don't even think like that anymore. It's just like, this has kind of been my superpower, my gift And I know that sounds so crazy. It sounds so crazy, but to put it in perspective for you, I got Lyme disease, and I told my, I was outside. We just bought a house at that time. We closed on a house. I wasn't happy at all. I was so miserable sitting at the closing. I couldn't breathe. I had a mask on. I couldn't breathe at all. And this should be one, a monumentous, huge, celebrated part of life. And I was dead inside. And we bought the house, and, you know, that's when I kind of really started to pivot and make a change. When, you know, we got into the house and do all these things, and I'm outside, and my neighbor's outside. She's gardening, this older lady. She was really close friends, actually, with the family that the gentleman that owned this house before us had passed away about a year before we bought the house. And she was very good friends with him. And she saw me come out the house. We talked for 1 minute. I mean, it was the first nice day of spring in 2021, the first nice day. And she looks at me, she goes, "Today's a great day for a run, isn't it?" And I look back, I'm like, "Yeah, it is. You know, it is." And I don't know what made her say that to me. It was a one sentence.
Very, very random from an elderly lady that doesn't know you.
Very random. And I know this sounds like I'm going off the rails here a little bit, but there's a reason why I'm going to this. So I was walking the dog. I came back to the house. I put my dog away and I went to my wife. I'm like, "I'm going to go for a run today." She was like, "You're going to what?" I'm like, "I'm going to go for a run. It's, you know,
it's a nice day for a run."
It's a nice day for a run. This is a sign, right? So I go for a run and I don't even get a mile and a half before I walk, right? Yeah, I've run before, but never, I was never an avid runner. So I finish, I'm like, "I'm gonna do 2 miles." So I walk a mile and a half and I, you know, I run a mile and a half, rather jog very slowly a mile and a half. And then I walk the other half mile. And I walked in the house and I felt like shit after this run. Like, I felt horrible. You know, I couldn't breathe. And
like, what did I do?
There's all kinds of mental thoughts going through my head that it's just, my therapist used to say catastrophization. Like, you're just thinking of all these bad things that can happen while you're doing something because you have this fear that was just built up for 6 months. Right. And that's what I was thinking. And I came in the house, she goes, "How was it?" I was like, "It was good. I'm going to go again tomorrow." And I just started doing that every day. And I came home 2 weeks later and I said, "I'm going to run a marathon this year." And she's like, "You're going to do what?" I was like, I'm going to run a marathon. And I picked the day on a calendar. I ran the Atlantic City Marathon and I went and I ran a marathon. Something that I always thought was going to be this thing that was just so out of touch, right? Like, you're so out of reach and like people don't think like that. And normal me without Lyme disease, I would have never considered running a half marathon, let alone a full marathon. But
your wife is probably wondering, it's like she's got a different husband. She's like, she got remarried, didn't know it.
Right. And that part of that was just, what am I capable of? What else am I capable of? What else can I do? What else can I do? What else am I? And it just kept building and building and building. And I've really, and again, when I say Lyme is my superpower, I've really transformed every single aspect of my life since acquiring this disease, which for me, it sucks. You know, at times I really don't have any symptoms left at all, really anything. But it's still like, you know, it's still in the back of my head. Could it come back? If I don't exercise like this, if I don't put my body through this, could it come back? So I still kind of fight with that demon, so to speak, but I'm not worried about it. If it does, I deal with it as it comes.
Right. And I think that, you know, easily saying that we can deal with PTSD, you know, once we get better from Lyme. Like, I think it's a real thing when it comes to that, because I know that I was always afraid of if, you know, get stressed out too much or some big trauma happens in my life, like I'm going to be sick again, you know, and who wants to live in fear like that, you know? But I really feel that I'm in such a good place. I've got such a good gut health going on, and I will continue doing certain things. I sit on my biomat almost every day of the week. Mm-hmm. I take binders on a regular basis. I drink cistus tea, which is one of my favorite things. It's an antiviral, antimicrobial. Yep. There's just certain things that are now part of my daily living, and I'm okay with that. You mm-hmm. know, if that's what I have to do to stay healthy, or, you know, to, for my mind to know that, okay, you have these things in place. You're not going to go backwards again. Like, that's past, you know, I've moved on from it. But it is scary with some people that, you know, get better, and then all of a sudden they revert back to their old life. They have a horrible diet again. They're overworking themselves. You know, they just go backwards. And I think that having Lyme is kind of like, it changes every aspect of your life, you know, for you, for the good. And even for me, you know, my life journey, my career, everything just shifted when I got Lyme. And when I got better, like, I'm so much different. I'm different in so many other ways. Good, bad, doesn't matter. But it's just taken me on a different path in life. And I think that Lyme is life-changing. But it's a lifestyle change. You know, it's I think, a lifestyle change. Just like if you want to lose weight, you know, you can't change your protocol until you lose the weight and then go back to doing everything that you used to do. So it's a lifestyle change, and I'm glad that you feel good. So kind of backtracking a little bit. So you were on the Buhner protocol, is what you
I
were
was,
doing.
Yes, I was. And so I had a bunch of air hunger still that was just killing me. And Babesia, for whatever reason, just did not show up in any of my blood work, but I could not breathe. I mean, I felt
And that's like the number one symptom of it, I think, is Yeah.
And I couldn't. I felt like I could, and I could, but I felt like I couldn't at all times. I would just be short of breath. And I mean, I went to every cardiologist, and a very close family friend is a cardiologist, and he took every possible test he could possibly take. Got me into all. If he had a friend that was I went to every specialist you could imagine. I went to see. I thought maybe it's my lungs because my heart kept coming back. Everything's perfect, and I've actually had a heart condition since 2008. Actually, after I got Epstein-Barr, I was diagnosed with a heart condition like a month later. And I played sports my entire life. Yeah. And that was my major symptom. I was having palpitations all the time. But anyway, so I've had a heart condition forever. Just everything was exacerbated. I mean, it was just like somebody turned the volume onto level 100, with every cardiac symptom I could imagine. So I'm like, I'm in heart failure. I have Lyme carditis. Like, you know, I have all these different thoughts, and I'm like, Bactrim caused me to have pulmonary fibrosis. So I went to see a pulmonologist. I literally, my mind was going everywhere. And I was chasing this demon that was just, you know, you couldn't grab its tail because it's your own.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just made things so bad for myself, and the anxiety and all these things just made it 100 times worse than it had to be. So I just kept coming up empty. And I'm like, sooner or later, I just got to accept the fact that I'm not dying tomorrow morning, and I got to move forward. And that was really the biggest thing is, I mean, I ended up in the ER 3 times, once by ambulance. I get to the ER and they're like, listen, your blood work's perfect. Everything's perfect. Your blood work's perfect. We did all kinds of scans. They did everything they could. I was buried up to my eyeballs in medical bills.
Yeah, you were probably the perfect definition of a hypochondriac, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And listen, it's... you know, you learn a lot about yourself in that situation. And again, it's like, oh, no one's hearing me. Or like, I just got to accept what they're telling me at some point or another. At whether it's completely true or not, I have to accept some part of that as truth, that I'm not dying right now. And I have to move on. And that's what I did. So eventually I took that and I moved on. And the Buhner protocol was great for me in the world of Babesia, because that's what I was convinced that I had because of the air hunger. And also my background in supplementation, I started doing my own kind of research. So I got into vitamin C. I was super high dosing vitamin C every day. I started taking black seed oil, and they weren't prescribed by Buhner, but I just kind of added them to the repertoire, and I felt better little by little, but truly what got rid of the air hunger, it's the craziest thing. It's the most opposite thing you'd ever think of, was the exercise, was the running. That really quelled it. It got rid of it.
Really?
And after I started running, I promise you, it was almost like my blood vessels were just like screaming to be opened. And once I got my my nitric oxide levels back in check, and my body was just pumping blood again. It almost felt like it just kind of a light switched, you know.
See your little old neighbor that right. you didn't even yeah. know. I mean, if it wasn't for her, you could still right. be dealing with air hunger, right?
Yeah,
I believe right. we meet people in this world for a reason. We really right. do. So wow, that's amazing. So how long were you on the Buna protocol for?
6 months. So I gave myself a strict 6 months to do it. And I wanted to see where I was at after 6 months. I didn't want to do it for a month and say it doesn't work.
Or, right. So you got to give it some time.
So I did it for 6 months strictly. And then I took bits and pieces and did that for another 6 months. So for a year straight, I was on it. And then I came off of everything. And we'll get into that if you want to, but I radically changed my diet, radically changed it in a way that I had never, approach diet before my entire life. And so when I got to that point, I wanted to come off of everything. I didn't want anything interfering with what I was putting in my body and feeling for fuel and be able to really metabolize food as energy and not rely on supplements to kill anything and kind of just take a whole foods approach to health, mm-hmm. Rather than any supplementation at all. So that's what I did. So I completely peeled off all supplements. And I started, I was in the sun every day. I was obviously still exercising. I mean, I was killing my body, long training for running. And then I hit the Peloton. I play hockey. I go to the gym. Like I commit to doing one thing that sucks every single day. And I don't let myself get away from that, really.
Yeah.
And I don't let myself get away from that thought process. And I think that really kind of keeps everything in check along with my diet. And I don't need to be on any supplements anymore. Quite frankly, there's some things that I take, but it's more for mental clarity than anything else. And
right.
just being bogged down from work all the time. I'm very, very busy with work, but,
So yeah. what, give us a little quick overview of what your diet looks like, because a lot of people, you know, we bring up the Facebook groups, a lot right. of people, they refuse to change their diet, you know, and growing up, my mom, you know, would tell you, you're going to turn into a chicken nugget. That's all you ever want to eat. You know,
yeah.
we really are kind of what we eat. I mean, yeah. that's really, there's a lot of truth behind that statement. And, you know, when I was in the thick of my treatment, there were so many things I couldn't eat. You know, I couldn't have seafood because I had mercury poisoning. There mm-hmm. were just so many things. And I just kept telling myself, it's not forever. You know what I mean? I can quit it. I want to get my life back. I want to get better, you know, and so many people just refuse to change their diet. And yeah. if they would, big changes could happen. So I'd love to hear what your diet is like.
Well, I think the most important thing to say is it's the hardest thing to do, right? Diet and exercise, the answer to every question. And nobody wants that answer. They want, what pill can I take? What antibiotic is out? What's going to get rid of the Lyme for me?
Where you're exactly right. Yeah.
And those two things are pivotal to anything. And I was strict vegan for 4 years, before getting Lyme. I then moved to plant-based for like two and a half years. And then some kind of modified vegetarian, where I would eat eggs and all that other stuff. And when I got Lyme, I just kind of started eating. In fact, my wedding was in 2019. It was the first time I had eaten any meat. And it was to taste test the food. It was the first time I had any meat in almost 10 years.
Wow.
How
did it taste? Disgusting?
Yes, it tasted like rubber. So we had like some chicken dish and it tasted like rubber to me. And it was a Michelin star show. We had a fantastic chef, but I hated it, but I did it for the tasting. And spit it right out. But anyway, so my approach to diet has always been whole food, plant-based. And like, you know, you can work in some pasture-raised eggs and like, seafood. And so that was my approach for a very long time. And, you know, there's a reason why I'm kind of bouncing around a lot here, but when I was training for that marathon, and when I said to you, I'd gained 50 pounds, I trained for that marathon for 7 months. And for 7 months, I'd go out and I would run every single week, 25 to 50 miles a week. Every week I would log those miles in. I'd get on the Peloton. I would log those miles. And I lost 7 pounds in 7 months doing that. On a whole food plant-based diet. And so there was something metabolically wrong with me that I wasn't
You're missing a piece. Yeah.
Right. So I decided to just go as completely radical as I could and go full on opposite spectrum and went carnivore. But it was more of a modified carnivore. It was modified. So I did eat fruit. I ate a lot of honey. I eat dairy. And this is how I eat every day. This is how I eat now. This is not a, it's not a test run anymore for me. It's been a year. Actually, March will be a year. March 8th will be a year. I eat a ton of red meat. I never liked red meat. I eat a lot of red meat. Some pasture-raised chicken every now and again. I try to kind of stay away from it. I eat sardines. Like, it's so funny. I literally have them right here. And he said, you don't eat fish. Wild-caught sardines in water. Sardines are mostly wild-caught, and they're inexpensive. And I'm telling you, when I eat them, something like clicks in my brain. I literally feel different after I eat it. It's very bizarre.
Wow.
I just go with how my body feels when I eat food now. And I stay away from plants almost exclusively. I mean, there's some vegetables that I eat. I call them more so non-sweet fruits, like zucchini and squashes and pumpkin and those kind of things. But I do not eat any leafy greens or any broccoli or asparagus, or if I'm out to dinner, I'll eat whatever. I don't care. But on a day-to-day basis.
And so... So when you do incorporate that in, you know, when you go out to dinner or something, mm-hmm. do you have any effects of it, of eating
no.
something different?
No, I don't. Because I'm so entrenched. My body's so metabolically healthy right now that I don't react to anything anymore. Now, and a big thing, a reason why I really had to kind of make that switch is because I would eat something and it didn't matter what it was, anything. Oh my God, anything processed, forget it. But even like if it was a kale salad, I would like fall asleep after I ate it. Like something was wrong with me. My body wasn't processing the nutrients right, or it just wasn't the right delivery system for me. And when I switched over, it was almost like I was, it was like a different switch turned on in my body and in my life, like a different flame ignited inside me. And it was really, really strange. I mean, every single aspect physically of me, the performance got better in every way.
And I take it you dropped the weight.
Oh yeah. Yes. Very quickly. In 4 months, I lost 57 pounds in 4 months, and then another 13 after that. Yeah. Over a period of time. Yeah. So I lost I lost 70 pounds since then. Yeah. And, I don't know. And it was the easiest thing I've ever done. Never hungry. You eat things. You feel amazing when you eat. My body is just metabolically in a great place.
So you're doing the carnivore diet, but you're adding in some fruits.
Yeah. And it's not my diet. So I can't say that this isn't, I didn't come up with this. This is not my thing. I found a doctor who was very kind of like radical in his thought process. This guy, Paul Saladino. And he at one point was a carnivore, and I could never just eat red meat all day. I know people that do that. And there are people that I'm sure get great benefit out of that. And I've heard the stories, but I don't know. I'm not doing that. Right?
I've heard a lot of good and bad. In fact, I just was talking to a friend about the carnivore diet just the other day, and she was going to try to give it a try. But, you know, you hear the good and the bad of both sides. But I like that you're adding in, you're modifying it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's a little strict.
Modified. It's modifying greatly, honestly. I eat a lot of fruit, a lot of mangoes, papayas when they're in season, mangoes, papayas, berries, bananas. I mean, there was a point I was eating a full papaya, and they're big fruits, two mangoes, four bananas in a given day.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of grass fed dairy, New Zealand dairy, beef. And truly, I think I probably lean too much on the carbs and eat a little bit less of the actual meat itself. And I eat more fruit probably, just me. I mean, I put butter on everything. I cut out all the seed oils, which they were killing me and I didn't know it. Like I was using canola oil to cook and all that other stuff for all this time. I had no idea that I was poisoning myself when I was doing that. So now, yeah, I just do butter. I do ghee, I do coconut oil, and yeah, I don't know. It's just become a way of life. And,
and it obviously works for you.
Right, right. And if I'm going to eat like this for the rest of my life, I don't know. I truly don't know. When I go out to eat, I eat whatever. If I want dessert, I eat dessert. If I want pasta, I'll eat pasta. But I won't do it more than a day in a row, because if I were to kind of wean off for 3 days or so, I start to feel like crap again. So
can feel the difference.
I try to stay on the,
yeah. No, and I've always said I'm not the kind of person that can diet for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So I'm like you. If I want that cheesecake, I'm gonna have it. But it's got to taste really, really good. If it's not the excellent cheesecake, I'm not gonna waste it. You know, I'm not gonna eat it. But yeah, so it's when you can adjust your lifestyle and feel the benefits of what you're eating. It just makes it so much easier to do it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what a fun journey. I mean, not so fun, but you know what I mean? Great journey. And I love that, you know, the little old lady was kind of your guardian angel. I love that you were already into the supplement world. So you were able to easier be your own advocate when it came to what you wanted to put in your body and you knew what you were putting in your body. I think that's really big. So if there's, and I think I know what you're going to say, but if there's any little nugget you want to throw out to the listeners, just, you know, that might be listening, what would it be?
I think a lot of the things that I think about on a daily basis is, and when I go into those forums and I see the kind of the negativity that is just, and I've been there, so I know, I get it. But there is another side. There is another side to that. And there's a light at the end of the road. And stop complaining. I mean, really, like the biggest thing, and I could have effectively ended my marriage by, and I'm being very truthful with you, I could have really destroyed a beautiful marriage from the chronic complaining and obsessing over Lyme and talking about it 24/7 and not being able to not being able to get my mind off of it. And my biggest takeaway from all of this is you're gonna die one day. You gotta start living like it. That's truly it.
Right. Yeah. No, I love it. And you know, we are what we eat. We are, you know, our mindset, our body, what we put into our body. Food and exercise, like you said it. I mean, our bodies were created to heal themselves. That's how we were created. And I think that you kind of just nailed that right there. So, well, Don, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. It's going to be great for these listeners to just get a different perspective, you know, from somebody else and where you were. And yeah, it's such an important tip. Don't get rid of the negativity. You know, it really draws you down, and mindset plays such a huge role in healing. So thank you so much. It's been great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com. And an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.